I guess, you know, Pastor will understand this more than anybody here. I'm starting to understand. I'm starting to understand the seriousness of a preacher or evangelist or a pastor. They have to get up here, and they're held accountable for what they preach out of here. And doesn't matter if you're sick, doesn't matter if we're not feeling good, doesn't matter if we're in pain, doesn't matter if we have friends out here, if we have people who've never seen us before. There's a seriousness that I think is lost among the churches today, that they don't understand that they're going to be held accountable for what they say and what they preach out of a King James Bible. And they don't understand the seriousness of the words that come out of their mouth. And they don't understand that me and you could be best friends, but when it's time for me to get up here, God has set something apart for me to preach. And if I don't say it the way He wants me to say it, I'm accountable for that. And I'm accountable for how it comes out, how it comes across to people. And you know what? I don't think preachers and pastors and they don't take it serious anymore. I'll just tell you this now. I love coming here. I love preaching. If I only preach at my own church the rest of my life, until God takes me home, that's fine. But I tell you, when I get up here and when I get behind this pulpit, Dale Moore is still Dale Moore. Dale Moore is still a human being. I still hurt. I still get sick. I still like to have fun and all this and that. But when I get up here and I know the Lord has given me something, it's time to get serious. Because God is sitting on the throne looking at me and saying, let me see what you're going to be accountable for. He's serious as a heart attack right now about something that I'm going to preach to you guys. Something that's coming out of His Word. He's going to hold me accountable for that. So He's taking it serious, so why wouldn't I? And I'm not saying it's not fun to get up here and joke around and all that. It is. We laugh. We have a good time. The only thing is that I'm saying is when I get up here, I know the Lord expects me to be serious. Expects me to get my points across. Expects me to give this to you guys the way He gave it to me. And it's for our learning as together. I'm not any different than you guys. Just because I get up here and preach doesn't mean I'm Superman. I do anything any better. I do not. I fail just as well as everybody else. It's only by the grace of God that I am who I am. It's only by the grace of God that I walk daily and take up that cross and follow Him. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm beat up. I don't feel good. You ask my wife. My wife got no sleep last night between me and Autumn. Me and the pain that I was in. I mean, absolutely excruciating pain. I mean, absolute to the point of tears. And she's rubbing my back and just trying to make it comfortable. And then Autumn coming in and out, she's not feeling good. And you still got to get up here and preach. The Lord still, you know, He still called me out here to preach. He gave me something. And I'm a human being just like everybody else. And I'm just telling you, you want to get in the trenches, God's got a place for you. You know, Sam just came home from the army, but I'm just telling you now, God's got somewhere for you in His army if you want it. But I'm just telling you now, you're going to go through the trenches. You're going to get in there, man. You're going to get in there and work that thing, and He's going to make you do it. And anyway, it's funny because I'm preaching on the wrong Christian attitude today out of Psalm 73. If we could please turn to Psalm 73. The wrong Christian attitude. So much of that goes on these days. Even with Christians are being, that's why I said the wrong Christian attitude. Because there's so many Christians out there I see them, they're calling themselves a Christian. I would have never guessed it in a million years. You know, Pastor always has that thing where some guy's got a hand in a business card with a fish. I just tell him, you know, he's a Christian. But so many Christians are like, oh yeah, dropping F-bombs and using JD all over the place. Oh no, I go to church. You're a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Man, what? This could have fooled me. Now that Bible you ain't. I just told my kids that this morning. I said, you know what happens when Jesus Christ steps into a person who's been lost, somebody who's out there living for hell. So you know what? All them scars are still on their heart, but Jesus Christ starts healing.
That's right.
He steps in and He starts healing. Guess what happens when you start healing? Don't you feel better, Tony, when you start healing? Yeah, that's right. You know, guess what happens? You start healing, you start feeling better, you start doing things a little different.
Yep.
Huh? That's what happens when Jesus Christ steps into somebody's heart. He starts healing those scars and things start happening just a little bit differently. Just take a look at people who call themselves a Christian. See how much healing they have going on in their life. Wouldn't that make you, listen, if the doctor could come up to you and say, I know you have an incurable disease, but we found somebody who can take that from you. What price would you not pay to get a hold of that?
No.
That's salvation. That's change. What price? What are you willing to give up to get what Jesus Christ has for you? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing? You know, most of us, just only the one simple thing He asks us to give up is stopping us from getting some victory in our life, yet we want to hang on to that thing like it's helping us out. Psalm 73, we're going to start in verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such that have a clean heart. I'm just going to tell you now, that starts off, truly God is good to Israel. You can't, as we sit here today, it's impossible for us to have a clean heart without God in it. Impossible.
Right.
Our hearts are not clean. If our hearts were clean, then we wouldn't need God to come in the first place.
Right.
But He needs to step in because He's got some cleaning up to do. And you know what? He's willing to do it. Are we willing to clean up our heart? I just told you, people are willing. They're willing to hold on to that bitterness and hate and anger and everything else. They don't want to clean up their heart. They like it dirty.
Come on.
They love it dirty. It's easier to stay dirty than to clean that thing up. Let me not get ahead of myself here, but let me read it. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Please turn with me to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. We're going to start verse 1 through 7. Exodus 23. I want you to see something here. The Lord showed me something here. It just touched my heart. Exodus 23. We're going to start in verse 1 and read through verse 7. David just said back here in Psalm 3, he says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Remember that in your head when I read these verses. So Exodus 23, 1 through 7. Thou shalt not rise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be unrighteous, to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in the cause of decline after many to wrest judgment. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him. Verse 5. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under the burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help him. Verse 6. Thou shalt not wrest the judgment of thy poor in thy cause. Verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and the righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked. Notice that God has to tell Israel not to do these things. Why does He have to tell us not to do these things? I'm going to get to my point here in a minute where David's got trapped. But you see, the Lord had to give the law for what? For what reason? Because we were born to do good? He had to tell us not to do these things because naturally, in our nature, we wouldn't do the right thing.
That's right.
God had to step in to tell man to do the right thing because naturally, with our sin nature, we're going to do the wrong thing. Let me not get ahead of myself. It says, notice that God had to tell Israel not to do these things. Why? Because our nature to automatically do the wrong things. Our nature is a sin nature, and naturally we will not do the right things. David fell in this trap and letting his sin nature take over got himself into trouble, as we see in Psalm 73. Verse 3, what did he say he got himself into? For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He sees what they're getting into. God put a law. So David was able to compare what God has written in the law for what mankind should do. And he sees that, and you know what he's doing? He's fretting and being envious over the wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, when God gave me this, I said, oh, Lord, help us. Don't ask me why I'm stuck on this thing about fretting, but guess what I'm preaching on kind of this morning? And it's going to be on fretting. There's somebody who has that so deep and so bad in their heart, God said we might just spend one more week on it. And here we are.
Come on.
And here we are. Hey, I'm going to be obedient. You know, God showed me this just as plain as day. And He had to bring some healing in my life. He had to bring some change in my life. You know, how do you think I got that? Surely it wasn't by leaving my Bible like this. I kid you, I promise you with everything that I am. And I told Pastor this earlier in office, I may not be much to anybody, but the miracles God has wrought on me, I mean the things that God has done to me, the changes that God has done to me, has been with this book open and my face in it, my knees on the floor.
Amen.
It may not be much for you guys, but ask my wife for the past 12 years how bad it was for her. Ask my children who are now healing from the stuff that I've done to them. Go ahead and ask all the people that know me in my past life and see what you think they think. The jaws that dropped at my father's funeral when I told him I was a preacher, huh, baby? They just couldn't believe it. I don't know if I had 25, 30, and I'm not bragging. She knows she stood there. I gave him all the glory, never myself, Patrick.
Amen. I
said, Jesus Christ is the one who changed me. You know, they over and over and over and over and over, it just kept coming up to me over and over again. If it could happen for you, it could happen for anybody.
Amen.
If it can happen for you, it can happen. That's what they kept saying, didn't they? Please pray for us. Please, would you pray for my family? I had a lady who's dressed in all this Indian garb come up to me and say, would you please pray for me and my husband?
Amen, brother. I like it.
Yeah. Huh? Not because of what I've done. I'm just telling you now what Jesus Christ has done, what he's done in my life, and what he wants to do with people in their life. But I'm just telling you now, with that fretting there, he ain't going to do nothing. He's getting it out. David fell in the trap of letting his sin nature take over. Think on this, folks. Almighty God has to tell mankind what not to do. That most people think humans should do naturally. Do you understand? It says, do it. Honor your mother and your father. Do you understand that in our sin nature, we will not naturally just do that? God had to give us a commandment to do that. Not to lie. Not to bear false witness. Not to covet. Not to sleep with another man's wife. All this stuff. God had to give us all that. Why? Because our nature is so filthy and so corrupt that we'll go out there and we'll corrupt everyone in his law. And that's just what he wants everybody to see. How many people here today have seen why, the reason why God has given the laws and the reason why he says the things he's done? Is it because we can make it on our own? I'm just telling you now, you'll never have a clean heart, clean life, clean mouth, clean anything until you have Jesus Christ living inside of your heart. I guarantee you that. That's an absolute fact. Absolute fact. Our sin nature. This is proof of our sin nature. Without God, we will not naturally do these things. David in Psalm 73 stepped into the carnal man. He allowed fretting to get in his life. Please turn with me back to Psalm 73. And we're going to look at verse 2. 73 verse 2. Psalm 73 verse 2. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Fretting almost destroyed David's life. He admits it right there. He knows that what he's about to tell us, he's going to show envy and fretting and all that. And you know what he said? It almost happened to me. There were people who, pastors preached out earlier, was almost persuaded to be a Christian. David was almost destroyed because of fretting, because of envy and the wicked. He was almost destroyed because of that. And he says that right in verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps well nigh slipped. So we see, for I was envious of the foolish, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. This is where most people get trapped. Right in verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know as well you're sitting in this church pews today. You sit around there and you look at those that you know are not saved. And it just seems like everything in their life is going perfect. They have everything they need. There's nothing that ever goes wrong with them. They're prospering. You're suffering. And there's things, something's not right here. That's what we all sit there in our heart. We all sit there and say, why do I become a Christian just to go through this? While they're out there prospering. That's where David's at. That's what it said. He was at that right now. Let me get to this, though. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. I'm going to get my point across here. And I just had to do a little Bible exercise here and run around. I like doing some Bible exercise. Matthew 16, I'm going to start in verse 26 and 27. This may be a well-known verse to a lot of people. Now let me get my point across here. It says, for what is man profiteth if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Christians see the prosperity of the wicked, and they envy it. How many of you sitting here today have fret in your heart and you're envying what these wicked people are getting away with, what they have, what they're doing? You see their prosperity and you're envying it. But what you don't realize is that those same people that you envy are lost without Jesus Christ and going to spend eternity in hell. And you're fretting over them. You have envy in your heart towards them. You desire what they have. And you know what? One day they're going to wish, they're going to desire and envy the very thing that you have. And you know what? You held it back. You held back on them. because you have envy towards them. They're lost without Jesus Christ, and after this life, judgment and eternity in hell. Matthew 16, 26 and 27. I just read that to you about what should a man profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul. That's what the wicked's doing. They're getting the whole world. Everything's theirs. It seems like it's okay. But they don't realize. They don't realize the one most important thing. They're losing their soul. He says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father and the angels, and they shall reward every man according to his works. Sadly, people are trapped in this, and they choose to stay void of the thought of what comes in the afterlife. Sadly, Christians are falling into the trap of wanting what they have and are being blind by such things and forgetting the most important matter, that are these people saved? That should be our most important thing. We're looking at them, we're envying, we have fret in our heart, we can't believe what they're prospering, what's going on in their life. It looks like everything's working out perfect. And we're forgetting the very matter that it's the same people. They have their reward. What they have here on earth is the reward. It's not your reward. The Father says, take your mind off the things up here and put them up here. Yes, the pastor said he gives us rewards here, and he does. But this is not our only reward. We don't not only get rewards here, but we will in heaven. Guess what their reward is? That same very person that you're fretting against, that same one that you're envying against, guess what? This is their reward. They get nothing else.
Try it.
Take that to heart. Let that sit on your heart. I know it bothered me. I know it bothered me to sit there and say, man, I used to have that in my heart towards people. And this person's going to sit and burn in hell. And I did okay. I'm going to heaven. That's the wrong Christian attitude to have towards anybody. Wrong. This is the reward, and after this hell. This should drive a Christian away from this foolishness and start getting a hold of God and these people and start praying that He saved them. This should bother us and be a driving force to guide them, not fret over them, not envy them, not want what they have. Because I'm telling you, what they have now is temporal. There's something that I have inside of me that's eternal. And you know what? It's God's will that every man, nobody perish, for all should come to repentance.
Amen.
That should be a motivation of ours. We have so many empty pews here. I'm not talking about the sick today. We have so many empty pews here that we should have family members here and friends here and this and that. But you know what? We're okay sitting here because we're okay. We're not really worried about that. We're not really worried about going out and telling them anything. We're not worried about them going out and warning the world. We're too busy fretting over them, right, Andy? Oh, fret did I ever over every single thing that my brother ever got, did, said. I mean, you should just tear me up. How can he get away with it? How can this happen and that happen? And here I'm trying to live my life as a Christian. He gets everything. I'll tell you right now, Lord, about chop my head off to get that out of my life and realize, man, I'm fretting over one who may be lost. I'm fretting over one that I may one day have to look over and have him look up at me. My own flesh and blood, him burning in hell. That's what I'm envying? Because he has a few things on earth? Because he has a few riches here? That's what I'm going to envy? That's what I'm going to fret over? David was caught in this. I bet you if he would have caught David in his attitude at this time, he really couldn't have cared much about anybody. He was too busy watching the wicked prosper, and it made him mad. It ate him up inside. It ate him up so badly, he almost slipped. Almost destroyed him. We get that way. Psalm 73. Going to verse 4. For there are no bands in their death, for their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. David here is in his stinking thinking, really believes in his heart that these people are getting away with all they do. And from our point, we see and we think the same way, but they're not. That they should be not happy for a moment for a Christian when they realize this. These people are not getting God. They are not getting Jesus Christ. They are not getting salvation. They are getting the storing of God's wrath against them. That's what they're getting on a daily basis. They're not getting what we have, people. They're not getting the King James Bible. They're not getting the Word of God. They're not getting Jesus Christ. They're not getting salvation. But God is storing up wrath against that day against them. Guess who's the warning out there? We are the warning for these people. But we're too busy. We're too busy worrying about what they have. Too busy worrying about, they're okay. They have money. They can make it on their own. They don't need nothing. They don't need you. I'm going to go up there and tell them about Jesus Christ. Why? They don't need nothing. Oh, they do. They'll never know that unless you start telling them. They'll never know. They'll never hear a warning unless you start warning them. And there's certain ways to get out there and do it. Let them see your light. Let them see what you really are. Let them see the change. Hey, how many times have we had people pull on us to see if we're real? How many times have you yanked our chain all the time? Yanking on that thing. Is this real? Yanking on it. Yanking and pulling it. I mean, shoving and pushing and saying things that are just, I mean, beyond belief and doing things. You know what? We built our house on the rock, and His name is Jesus Christ, and it's not going to crumble in their storm or any storm here. He says, build on that rock. Put that foundation on that rock, and it won't crumble. That's a promise He's made. Guess what? It has not crumbled, has it? No, it has not. Build that foundation on Jesus Christ, it won't crumble.
Right.
It's funny, I had a Jehovah's Witness. I worked with one of them, and I've never dealt with one. Just a sweetheart of a lady, though. I mean, just really a nice lady. She said she was talking about Fort Lauderdale, or no, Miami, how they changed the legislation because you weren't supposed to build anything over three stories, the way foundation was, but they got legislation to change that whole law. She goes, you know, they changed the legislation, but they didn't change the foundation.
Uh-huh.
I said, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Woo! I don't know what she meant by it. She knows I'm a pastor or a preacher. I told her I'm a preacher at the Black Creek Baptist Church. She didn't like that very much, but that's okay, because I'm not there to impress her. But the one thing I said, you know, she said, I said, I'll see you in a couple weeks, because I took, you know, this week off for to be with the family and that. And I went to go walk out the door. She goes, Dale, you know, Jesus Christ said build it on that firm foundation, not the sand. She goes, that's what people are building their life on, is the sand, not Jesus. That's what she said to me. That's what she said to me. I was like, kind of blew me. I don't know much about them. But I know this. As Christians, we know better. We have the Word in front of us telling us what we should be doing. And what do you think God put all this stuff in here for? Just to give us knowledge? What does knowledge do? Puffeth up. That's what it does. If it is not put in the right place and done with it as God has led you to do with it, it all does is puff you up. Listen, Paul had a thorn on his side. Mine is my back, my neck, and all. That's my thorn. Keeps me from getting puffed up. Now, I don't know the Bible, like, you know, pastor does and all this and that. But I would tell you something, I get prideful over the things that the Lord has done for me. I can start taking the credit for what He's done for me. I'm just telling you right now. Sometimes God has to do things to certain people to keep them in check. I believe my physical ailments are to keep me in check. But I'm okay with that. I am. I'm not saying I'm okay with the pain and this and that, but I'm okay with God having to keep me in check. He knows what's best. Hey, when they're not listening, how close do you put them to you? Huh? When our kids aren't listening, how close do you put them to keep control of them?
That's right.
Huh? We think God wouldn't do that for us?
No.
I believe He would. Hey, fretting. How about you? Hey, just imagine, there's people out there you've got fretting in your heart against and envy in your heart against, and guess what? They can have that same closeness with God. But you don't want to share it. You're too busy.
Come on.
Too busy worrying about what they're doing, what they're getting away with, what they're saying, and all that. That's what we worry about. Okay, let me read this to you. God's wrath is storing up against them. How sad that a Christian should have this attitude. Notice I said should. We fret, we envy these people for what they have, but we really should be looking and be worried about what they don't have. There's one way to get God's wrath off of your life, and His name is Jesus Christ. You want God's wrath off of your life? You need Jesus Christ, or else it will be there. You're going to stand before judgment as a lost person, and God's wrath is good. And you know what? He's right. He's just. He's holy. We don't understand it all the time. But if people say, well, how can God just throw people in hell? God didn't throw them in hell. They chose to be there. He chose the cross for them. They rejected it. Now they got to face judgment. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I tell you right now, I have 5 children. Of all 5 of my children, all 5 of them are lost. If they were to die and go to hell, that was their choice. That was their choice. Now, I'm not saying, would that be an easy thing for me to swallow? No. I am not no Superman. My emotions would be so... I wouldn't even know what to think. But I just know this right now, that he is that just. He is that... He has righteousness and holiness that he will not compromise to keep one soul out of hell. He will not compromise that. People live each day in their life. People who are under the sign of the preaching, who are under a King James Bible, they will live, and even if they're not saved, they will live like they can compromise every single day. I told my teens this morning, I said, let me ask you one single question. I said, you are so crazy to sit here and play Russian roulette with God.
Come on.
Now, I know God works in heart. He takes times. But there are those who are sitting in these pews today who are playing Russian roulette. You think I could push it one more day? I could push it one more day. And God said, no, you know what? Today's the day. I'm done. No one here is promised another day. Why would you want to play for one more millisecond with your eternity? Pastor said that sparrow flying one grain at a time till the whole earth is over in the sun. That's only the beginning of eternity. That's where you'll be now. You think God's merciful for putting you there? He is. He is. Yeah. That's not an easy thing for a lost person to swallow, but they need to. I believe 100% the judgment that God would have gave me before I was saved would have been the most just thing. I see that now as a saved person. You couldn't have told me that as a lost person. I would have laughed at you. But now that I see and I start to understand God and have that relationship with God and I see His holiness and His righteousness and I start seeing that stuff, I go, He was right. I've been wrong the whole time. I'm the one. This is what this Bible's telling you. You're the one who's... Listen, you've got the separation between you and God. He's already fixed it. It's done. It's already... The way's already made. Oh yeah, I want to be saved. Really? What's holding you back then? Your friends? What people think of you? Pride? Oh, this person's going to think this about me. Listen, let me tell you. Oh, they might hate me after I start giving myself over to Christ. They hate you now because they're trying to keep you on their level. They're trying to bring you lower than them. They don't have a one lick of bit of sense about you. They don't care less about you. Where they're sitting there and trying to lift you up and make you do better, they're trying to keep you down their level or lower. They hate you now. What's the difference going to be? Difference will be you'll be saved. You won't have to worry about anything. Jesus Christ will take care of them. But you're too busy fretting. Will you still envy at the same person when they're in hell? When you see them in the flames of hell, will you still fret over what they have? Will it make you happy now that they got what they deserve? So many people sit there and say, that person just got what they deserved. How sad. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. God didn't think that way, or He would never went to that cross.
That's right.
We all deserved it. All of us. And yet the Christian has an attitude, they got what they deserve. Sad. It's sad where the Christian attitude has went. I told the kids this morning, I've only been in this thing for 3 years. I've only been saved. I mean, I've been coming to church for about 4. I wasn't raised in church or anything like this. So I'm coming at you at a whole new point of view. The Bible's a new thing to me, man. Listen, He's giving me stuff and showing me stuff that I'm not coming at it. So many kids are raised in Christian families and this and that, and they're out there doing what they want to do, living their life astray or whatever else. Here's the thing. Let me tell you this. Here's somebody that the Lord pulled out of the gutters. He pulled me out of the world. He pulled me out of the flames of hell, and He pulled me here and got me saved, gave me a Bible, says read it, and I'm coming at you at that point of view, trying to warn you to stay out of it, and you want to jump headlong into it.
Headlong
into it. No mercy on it. You don't care. Be honest, you don't care. You're just going to go and do it anyway. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you walk out of these doors and you just leave everything you heard right here. How can you go out there and be a light to anybody? What are they seeing in you? Oh yeah. Oh, you go to the Black Creek Baptist Church? Well, I wouldn't want to go there if you're there. Why would I want to act like you? That's what they're saying. Those very ones that you're envying, the very one that you're fretting.
Why do you think they're not sitting in this church? They know you're doing that to them.
They know you're doing that to them. Why would they want to come here when somebody feels like that to them?
No.
Why? People don't want to come to a place they feel uncomfortable.
I thought the church is place that people were supposed to feel comfortable around people.
They come in here and start hearing the word of God. I'm like, God, I'm done. Oh, look, we just walked in this church. People from other counties come into this church, and I hear them talking garbage about people who've already been in this church. Really? Man. I told my son this guy, I said, I just can't believe where churches are going these days. I've only been in this thing a very few short years, and it already saddens my heart to see where preachers, pastors, evangelists, churches, and everything, where they're heading. It saddens me. Yes, things of God bother me. Can you believe it? It bothers me. Should not have the attitude of fretting and envy. We should have been in the same place as them, but God had mercy on us and sent somebody our way to warn us. God is sending each and every one of us to warn people. Are you doing it? Or are you too busy fretting and being envious of what the lost have? Their minds have been blinded. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 4:4. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The things of this world, the devil hath blinded the minds of the very ones that we envy. Do you realize they're sitting there with their minds blinded by the devil and you're envying what they have? And they're doing it all out of blind faith? Just absolutely putting everything that they have into this world, everything that they have into this devil, and you're envying them, and you're supposed to be a child of God? Let me read the second half of that verse. The things of this world, the devil, have blinded the minds of the ones we envy. As the Lord sent us a guide, we should be that we may be healed and see. So should we be a guide to help them see Jesus Christ. The second part of 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. When we, for the first time, seen the light, it turned our world upside down. You know, when God started showing you that light, it made things just a little different. You've seen things a little different than you ever did in your entire life. You know that your whole world started flipping upside down. I know since I got saved, just the 3 years that I've been saved, my world has been turned absolutely 100% upside down and into a direction that I would have never thought in a million years. Why? Because the glorious gospel, that light shined on me. Bam. And I seen for the first time. I realized, whoa, what is in front of me? Wow. I could not believe that I lived 40 years without this. I cannot believe that God didn't go ahead and just take somebody like me right out of the picture. But he was merciful. He says, so when that light shines on them, they see it, turns your world upside down. And for the first time, we started understanding what Jesus was saying and what the King James Bible was showing us about ourselves and salvation and things to come. We started seeing things in a whole new light, and that light is Jesus. You realize he is that light that shines on you. And he's that one that makes that way. I mean, I remember reading in Proverbs, it says, stay on that path, stay on his path, stay on his way. Go with him. Go the way he brings you. This is a dark world. The devil owns this world. It's a dark world. What's the only way you're going to see if you have the light? You need the light. That light is Jesus Christ. That light shines bright enough. He got you right down that path that you're supposed to be on. Got to get your mind off of other people. These people are blinded and they're trapped. They can only see their temporal pleasure in what they do. You realize that people can only see their temporal pleasure in what they do. Let me finish it. They do not see, understand, think of the eternal consequence. They are not seeing past their pleasure. They're not seeing past their sin. They're not seeing past their wrongdoing. They're not thinking of tomorrow. They're not thinking of today ending. They're not thinking that they can walk out this door and be over with. They're not thinking about the eternal consequence. Be honest. How many of you really fear God? Okay, number one. Number two, if you really fear God, are you really going to continue to play Russian roulette? Number three, you think it can't happen to you. You know it. You know you think it can't happen to you. You are not thinking about your eternal consequence sitting in the position you are. And I'm not talking about church member, pastor. That's not the position. You're sitting, you're lost. You're lost, dying, and going to hell. And you're still playing with your eternal consequence. It does not make, you have no fear of God. Where's the fear of God anymore? I fear no man and no thing, but I'll tell you this right now. I fear a holy God. He put the fear in me. Like, why? How? Why? The key, listen, when you, listen, there's a proper fear to put inside of people. My children have a proper fear that when they do something wrong, they're going to get corrected by me. Not abused, corrected.
Right.
So what kind of proper fear do you think God wants you to have with him? What's that do for you? It keeps you out of trouble.
Right.
But I'm just telling you now, the temporal pleasure and what they do, they don't understand, they don't think of the eternal consequences. And here we have saved people that do understand and have been spared, and yet because of envy and fretting in our hearts and our lives, these people will face an eternity in hell because we have fallen in the same trap David did in Psalm 73, 1 through 5. And I'm just going to read that real quick. Truly God is good to Israel, even as such as of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps were well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are bands in their death, for there are no bands in their death, but the strength is firm. They are not in trouble as the other men, neither are they plagued like other men. David fell into this trap, doing that, having that towards people. And most Christians today are in that same trap. And because they're in that trap, they will keep their mouth closed when they should be open. They won't share the gospel. They won't share salvation. They won't share what Jesus Christ is doing for them because they're too busy fretting against those same people. Just realize this in your heart today, and I'm going to be done with this. That same very one that you're fretting against, one day you're going to have to watch them in judgment.
Come on.
Good or bad. Guess what? Guess who's going to answer for it? Remember, he sends us out to warn people. He sends us out to be a guide to that light, not the guide because we are not the light, the guide to that light. To show them that there's something different, there's a different way. That maybe, just maybe, say they can get saved. But we're too busy fretting against each other. All right, John, what was that song, buddy?